Well, good afternoon. Oh, it was a blessed week so far. And if it had been up to me, we could have kept it going that way. Just it's a blessing when other brothers come up and preach, right, James? Yeah. So, but anyway, I was really encouraged, inspired, just to hear the practical teaching and preaching of God's Word. You know, and I trust that. And I know that none of us in here feel that it's a lot of legalistic teaching, but it's a burden that's been on the hearts of the elders here for a while, just to have some of these meetings, just to share the hearts where we want to go, what's expected, and I've been blessed by them so far since Wednesday evening there. So here I am. I was given the topic on the dangers of entertainment and social media. And it's going to be quite a bit of practical teaching here on that. Just some experiences that I experienced through this throughout the years of my life and where God brought me from there. But anyway, before I begin, I think it'd be worthy just to have a word of prayer. Maybe we all could rise and I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, as we do bow here at this time, Lord, and this afternoon, we just pray, Father, that you have your way here, Lord, in these meetings. Lord, I trust that all the preaching and teaching that we've been hearing, Lord, and there's several more yet. There's one tonight and tomorrow, two tomorrow. Father, that it would not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, we would take these and put them into practical use in our lives, Lord. And for the biggest reason would be that you be glorified in our lives, Lord, as we go forth. We just pray again, Father, that you have your way here as I share a few thoughts, Lord, that you would share through me, Lord. It wouldn't be my ways, my words, but Lord, it'd be your words. And just let me be open to share the things that you want to share through me. I commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so on this topic, I can tell you it's a little a challenge for me, as I'm not a great teacher. So you bear with me as I go through and share on some of these things here that I wrote down. So I'll start on entertainment first. Just I'm going to make this a two-part message here on entertainment and social media. I could separated it here. But the meaning of entertainment is an act or process of providing pleasure, recreation, or amusement. A mean of amusement or recreation, especially a public performance. And worldly entertainment always has a way to draw hearts away from God. And it does that time after time. And we see that. In the Old Testament, you know, they had entertainment as well. They had, back then as I did some searching and looking, they had horse races and they had, with chariot races, yeah, foot racing, they had swimming races, and them were their normal activities. So today, where we're at, this world has a lot to offer to mankind as far as entertainment in the entertainment world, as in sports and in movies. And I know that there's many other things I could throw into there, but mainly I'm gonna share a lot on the where I've been involved with sports and movies, some on movies. So what I have to share here tonight, I trust that this is just not an issue for most of us here anymore. I trust that this has been, but I'm gonna share on some things, the dangers of the next generation to come, and I'll share on some of the reason why I'm sharing some of the things that I do. And if we don't keep our hearts turned toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the next generation will be back into the worldly entertainment so quickly. The devil, he is sly. And we see through a lot of plain people and the Mennonites around us as they're involved in playing in tournaments and watching ball and all that. And I don't know how that came back into there. I know 30 years ago, that was not so. But like somewhere here in Fort Wayne, just to share some practical things here before I begin. Each year, there's a large tournament that's played here in Fort Wayne. It's a Mennonite tournament. They place it here in Fort Wayne because it's the hub of Illinois, Davis County, Northern Indiana, Holmes County, Pennsylvania. And I don't know how many teams of Mennonites that come in the tournament from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday. I think there was like 50 to 70 teams that get involved here. And I do know some of these Mennonites that we know that came down from Davis County. It was more than softball. They also brought their little coolers of alcohol along as well. So it was a weekend of entertainment, of drinking. A lot of times the drinking is a big struggle within the entertainment world. So how did they get there? You know, like 30 years ago, that wasn't something that the Mennonites struggled with, or the Amish. You know, I came from a Amish, and we had tournaments here and leagues here in our community as well. But I struggled a little bit to call it worldly entertainment, but I'll call it what it is. As you gather in that way, you know, as I want to share before I go here, before I get my message. Games with your children, softball games and volleyball and basketball. I think that's a blessing with them. When the fathers get involved and play games with your children, it's a blessing. But here, this tournament here, the children are removed and put over here, and the fathers come and they're all engaged and they are entertaining. And I see what it did to me. And I'll share a little bit on that. And it's hard to keep our hearts conditioned in a right condition, as it says there in Peter. You know, when we get involved in so many of those different activities and things, it has a tendency to draw our hearts into the another way. It's not God edifying. Like it says here in 2 Peter 1. He says, besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godly brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things they are blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And if you do these things, you should never fail. So I see that when I was in this life of entertainments and all that, there was no room to give diligence to Christ. There was no room for Christ within me as I was given over completely to that. And as I go forth, I'm going to tie the sports here that I'm talking about into idolatry. Because 1 Corinthians 6, it says, it's the same, you know, we look at some of that a little different. But 1 Corinthians 6, it puts idolatry in the same content as fornicators, adulterers, and drunkards, and covetous, and homosexuals, and etc. Because it says there all shall have their part in the lake of fire, it says there in Peter. And also, I just want to go, before I get in the movie, before I get on my main message here, I want to share a little bit, also entertainment, the movie world. I want to share a little bit on that before I go. Christian movies, and I know that early on, I watched some of them after I was born again. And they're in the same place, the very same place. Think of that movie, Before I Was Born Again, The Passion of Christ. I went to the theater and I watched that. And I know God can use some of those movies. I trust that he can if he wants. But there, it moved me. It did. It moved my emotions some. But it never, as far as it went, it worked on my emotions. And I did see a picture of Christ being on the cross, suffering for our sins. And some of that, yes, I understood some of that. But as far as that went, it just moved the emotions within me. But what I want to share on that Acting, first of all, acting and pretending is a lie. And if you look up acting, it plays in the same verse in Greek on hypocrisy. So hypocrisy. It's a lie, it's pretending, and it's a lie, and it's hypocrisy. So all those movies, Christian movies, are all being faked out. They're being played out, acted out. And second of all, on The Passion of Christ, Mel Gibson, he is a Hollywood star. And I think this is the interesting fact. The same time that he made the movie Passion of Christ, he was living in a he was having an affair with another lady. Isn't that interesting? I mean, think about it. But yet he portrayed the work and the love of God and what Christ has done, but he was living in an affair. And a few short years later, he divorced his wife and married another. And now he's in adultery. So that is whom making these Christian movies. They're living a lie, and it's all just for money. If I remember right, the movie industry last year alone, it generated $247 billion in America alone. Talking about idolatry, right? And when you get involved in the entertainment world, it's always drawing you away from the opportunity that you could spend time with Christ and with God. Always. It takes away from that. And James 3:11 says, you know, as I was talking about Mel Gibson here, the Hollywood star and playing in The Passion of Christ, James says, "Does the fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs?" We know that. So can the fountain both yield salt water and fresh? No, it's not possible for an ungodly man to bring forth a movie that can be edifying to the Spirit of God. So as I'm going to tie this in with idolatry, so we see that God dealt with idolatry severely. Oftentimes it was death, especially in the time of when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and they were given over to idolatry. They were worshiping other idols. And later on, God opened up the earth and swallowed thousands of them. And oftentimes he allowed the enemies to overtake them. And to make a point on that, as we give ourselves over to that entertainment world, into the idolatry, it will continue to overtake. And I know that I can preach this because I know many of us in here came from being sports fanatics. And I was one. I don't know all of them, but I would say that would be a struggle to be involved in some of those things and yet stay pure before God. And I'm going to show a little clip here in a little bit, just to give you an idea what we were involved with, what I was involved with, and what the world is still involved with here in a little bit. So before I begin here, I want to say social media here. Okay, I might have got ahead of myself there. But anyway, okay. But before I begin here with that, as I said earlier, the entertainment has a way to draw hearts away from God. And I just want to share something a little bit. What these sports games, sports arenas, what it looks like. I know a lot of you already know. But interesting, I went and I used a Google. I Googled up one of the noisiest moments in sports history. And it's interesting what popped up. It was in 2010, the Indiana and Kentucky game. And I thought that was interesting. I was an Indiana fan. But so I thought, no, I'm not gonna play that here just because of that. But then I talked to a few, and they said, well, that's okay, go ahead. Just to give you an idea, a pure idolatry that's into these games, and we have people that claim that they're sold out to God, and yet they're going there and enjoying these things to the fullest, and it's Don't fool yourselves. We can't, as I'm going to read later, we can't serve God and mammon both. So with that, I just share that. I think it's about a 10-second clip. You got to bear with me when I share this, because this is pretty noisy. I told Dan to just make it noisy. Did it turn on, Dan? Okay, give it a minute, you said. And I was here for many years. I went to these places. And to me, it was some of the greatest experiences and entertainment that I ever experienced in my life. And praise the Lord, in 2010, I was far removed from this year. I don't remember this.
Here comes Riddell Jones. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Riddell all the way outside to Watford.
Let's try that again.
Jones, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Riddell all the way outside to Watford. 3 on the way. Oh! Elliott! And Indiana wins the ball game! Christian Watford with a 3!
Could God find himself in a place like that? No. So my just a little point I wanted to make here. If we're still involved in some of those things, youth, there's no room. There's no place for that there in the worship of God. I trust you. I mean, God would not, I mean, you couldn't be found in a place like that. Not saying that a person that couldn't be in there, that it was a totally different motive, you know, I understand that. But my encouragement, the dangers of entertainment, fathers, if we lose sight of God, and if we lose a vision of Jesus Christ, just a few short generations, our children will be sitting right back in those places. They'll see it in the Mennonites. So that was my motive playing that, just to share you the idolatry in that. And I was blinded to that for 30 years of my life. And I want to share a little bit of story on here as I go on. When I was 2 years old, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, I remember, I had a ball in my hands. And I don't know where the ball come from, basketball, because none of my brothers before me, Steve, Paul, Pete, Louis, Menon, none of them were into basketball. But somehow I got a ball in my hands. And the rest of them after me did as well, except for Denny. I don't know, Denny wasn't a sports guy. But as I started playing basketball, shooting, and year after year, day after day, year after year, it started something in me. Then I remember after many years, I went with Dad. It's interesting. Dad took us over to our neighbors and we watched a high school a basketball game. Dad was in the high school basketball. He played high school basketball when he was in school. So he was always intrigued in high school. So as that went over and got us introduced to basketball, and it never stopped there. It was just like a fire that was burning out of control. Sports captivated my heart in entertainment. It was not God. How sad. Then it didn't stop there. It was football, baseball. And I remember baseball, going out in the cornfield, taking a bag of chips and a can of Mountain Dew and going laying out in the cornfield, listening to a Reds game for 4 hours. 4 whole hours. As I was given over to all of that. Then on a Sunday afternoon, we had to leave church at 12 o'clock because Colts played at 12:30. Then that went to 4:30. Then after that, we went to play football over at Cedar Creek School. Then golfing in between Sundays. And horse racing as well. And all those at the same time. As you can see, I was given over to idolatry. I was given over to the entertainment world. And that was a hindrance to me when I came to the point of surrendering my life. It had a grip on me, and I remember for months, if not a year, fighting this battle. Surrender, giving up all the stuff that I loved. Surrender to the Lord Jesus, or giving up all this stuff. I knew that if I surrendered my heart, all this had to go. I knew that in my life. There wasn't no questioning on that, but it was there for me. I remember it was a battle. Matthew 6:24 says, Jesus says there, he says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In the words of Jesus. And I trust that we're thinking, we're all in here, the adults are thinking, well, this was a part of us a long time ago. But if not, I encourage you to deal with it. Or maybe entertainment. There's many different ways of entertainment here in this area. And like I said, I'm just going to be picking on a few of these. You know, entertainment is to see how big we can grow our business, or see how much money we can make, see how much we can possess on lands or whatever possessions. And it could be in a hunting. It can be into, just on the economic, on the output of a hunting last year, I think I shared that, it was $247 billion. So that is given over to idolatry as well. So we can be delivered from all these sports and et cetera, but being involved with all the riches of this land, that will draw our hearts away as well. And Jesus has an answer there, as it says there in Matthew. I'm going to read a few verses as we go, just a... Like I said, it's going to be a practical message here, just encouraging or sharing on the dangers of a social media and entertainment. Matthew 6:19. Lay up not yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. I know Alan shared on this here a couple weeks ago, or last week. Where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. For where your treasures is, there will also your heart be. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, for he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor what for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and a body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, but gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are we not better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic into this stature? And why, taking thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the earth, and today and tomorrow he casts into the oven, shall he not therefore more clothe you, O you little faith? Therefore take no thought for saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where we should be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. He knoweth all the needs that we have. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall have the thoughts of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. So, as we see, just giving ourselves over to that. Jesus says, you seek me and I will bless you and I will fill you with all my the things that you need. So, talking about the entertainment of this world, just some statistics here. Netflix. And that's a streaming thing. You can watch movies, you can watch basketball, you can do many things. Just last year in America alone, that generated $264 billion. Talk about idolatry. $264 billion. Walt Disney, $206 billion. Comcast, that's another streaming thing, $157 billion. Sony, that'll be the maker of these technologies of TVs and all those things. That was $100 billion. NetEase, $59 billion. Spotify, which is a music streamer, $57 billion. Nintendo, $57 billion, then Las Vegas gambling, one casino, $35 billion, and Evolution Gaming. It's an online game thing where you can spend time playing people all over the world, $25 billion. So add all them up, that's $960 billion spent just on entertainment in this U.S. And when we have countries around us that are starving. God help us. Then another statistic here. It's unbelievable the money that's spent. On a given day, on an NFL season, there's 31 teams that play football on a Sunday afternoon, for the most part. There's a team that'll play Monday night. But 31 teams are involved, and I looked at the average of these stadiums. It says the average is 70,000 people. Most of these are played on a Sunday afternoon, away from God. No church houses, no worshiping. They're sitting on these places where they're giving. Totally over to idolatry. Each ticket, so 31 teams times 70,000 is 2.2 million people. Take that times a ticket. An average ticket for a game like that is $377. And I was amazed by that. The average ticket is $377. So on a Sunday afternoon from 1 o'clock or 12:30 to about 10 o'clock, $829 million is spent one day, one afternoon, on tickets. That's just tickets. That's not including the food and the drinks and all that given over. So that's why I'm tying all this into idolatry. It's the full-fledged idolatry. Can we really be a true Christian and have a favorite football team where they're given totally over to idolatry? What does God say about the money that's being spent? We are going to be held accountable for the money that we spent, just not in everyday life, but also whatever it may be. And Jesus says in 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. And it means keep yourselves from trusting, obeying, revering, and following. That is in effect worshiping anything or anyone other than God Himself and His Son Jesus Christ. So the answer to that, can we be involved in that? No, we cannot. Even though I know that my wife has some cousins that we talked with, visited with over the years. And he was an Notre Dame fan, Nate was a Purdue fan, and I was an Indiana fan. So we would get together a couple times a year, and we would sit around for hours discussing. Nate would go with me to IU games, I'd go with him to Purdue games, and all that. And we would sit and we would talk and discuss about the coming years, and as my heart was given over to that. But then we got born again, and we put all that behind us. Next time we seen him, we sit down, and he started asking Nate about, so what do you think, how's Purdue going to be this year? He said, Notre Dame got a pretty good team. And Nate said, I surrendered that to the Lord. And he said, I'm a Christian now. And he goes, I'm a Christian too. And that's how majority of the people feel that they can be in the kingdom and be still involved and go on to all these events where God is not partaking of. So remember, I'm not stepping on playing with your children, a game of softball, playing volleyball, playing with your children and all that, but my title was The Dangers of Entertainment. And it's just, if we don't keep our hearts pure, keep our hearts turned toward God, in generations down the road, they'll be full-fledged into that. That's what I'm just preaching on. So let's not fool ourselves thinking that we can be entertained by the idolatry of worship and be pure in heart. As Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other. I know I read that a couple times. Or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. It's one or the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So young men, if you think you can follow the entertainments of the sports, which we call idolatry, then I ask, is there room for Christ in there? In Titus 2, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared in 12 men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly. There was no sobriety in that. There was no sobriety there. Of course, alcohol was involved, and it was just a pagan worship. And we know there's no sobriety in that. Soberly, righteously and godly, there's none of that. And he says, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And we should be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and the Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify ourselves into him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So we see that these four verses here does not apply, cannot apply to that. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. And these things before I should have read some of those. But he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain, and the love of money. He said, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art called and have professed a good profession before the witnesses. I give unto thee charge the sight of God, who quicken all things, and before Christ Jesus, who have Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there the same thing, as he's encouraging us to fight the good fight of faith, flee those things that are of the world, and seek after God. So let's keep entertainment in perspective. The deepest, most abiding joy, anyway, comes from fellowship with God, right? Not a fleeting source of amusement. The psalmist writes for God's presence and said to him, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, being in the household of God. In Psalms 84, the amount of entertainment available in this Western world is overwhelming. Yet people still abuse the substances. They lead deeply troubled lives, even commit suicide, the rich and the famous. There's no joy in that. We know that through all that, there's still a missing element of a piece of the person, and that is Jesus Christ within. We know that Jesus fills that void within each person. They have all the money, all the riches, all the famous, but yet they commit suicide. And we can see this is evidence that no amount of entertainment can bring ultimate fulfillment other than walking daily with our Lord Jesus Christ and your Savior. So let's be entertained. There's ways entertainment are not sinful. You know, you can sit around a fire and be entertained by the fire, but and sharing and singing with brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies, praying. We can enjoy camping, fishing, hiking, sightseeing, and many other things that we can be involved with, but we cannot give our heart over to idolatry worship. Where when it becomes more, means more to us than God, then we need to repent. So with that, the part section two here. Part number two, the dangers of social media. As I did some search on that, social media, I'm not talking necessarily just the phone use is evil. But social media on some of those on Facebook and Instagram, and I don't know all of them because I never get involved other than WhatsApp. But social media is designed and made to be addicting. Interesting, found that fact. They're made to be addicting. And also, it's made to advertise products. That's what, when I looked up, what is social media? It says it's designed to be made addicting. It's made to advertise products, promote self, influence others. And studies have shown that the constant stream of retweets, likes, and shares from these sites cause the brain reward area to trigger the same kind of chemical reaction seen in the drugs like cocaine, the addiction. same. These things, they can get addicted to these social media apps and sites. The same way a person can get addicted to cocaine. That's amazing. A few years ago, as we were going to Haiti, we was at an airport in Detroit, and we had a few hours. So I thought, seeing all these Jews, Detroit has a lot of Jews, and I just thought, well, I'm going to find out what they're thinking about this man we call Jesus. So I walked to the first Jew I seen, and I went up to him, and I started asking some questions, and he totally ignored me. He was on his phone. I see he was on an app playing some kind of game. This is a Jew. A Jew. So he didn't acknowledge I was sitting there. So I got up, went to the next one, sat down, and I started talking to him about Jesus, about who was Jesus to him. And he got angry with me and said, "Can't you see I'm on my phone?" I said, "I'm sorry." He got up and walked away. By that time, I looked around, started looking around at this airport, and everyone, 95% of the people were on their phone. Sitting beside husband, wife, they're on their phones. They're walking on their phones. They're on these apps, and it is destroying people. The last 20 years or 15 years of social media, destroying the connections of just people socializing face-to-face talking. It's destroying that. It's taking away socializing and talking face-to-face. It's causing a great struggle in society for people to communicate and relate to one another. They can do it on their phone, but from face-to-face in person, it's causing a great struggle. Public schools are in a great mess. Unruly, disobedient teachers, they have no power over these young boys. They're in their phone. They have phones in these schools, and they can't keep them off their phones, and it's causing a great chaos in the schools. It's changing the way that people think, or it even has health issues. As a study in JAMA Pediatrics found that scrolling social media for 3 hours per day can lead to mental health issues. It affects the brain. It affects your health as you're on the social media for 3 hours or more a day. Also, JAMA found that social media can create a sensitivity in the brain to rewards and punishment. It numbs your brain. It's causing isolation, depression, anxiety, and stress, and dissatisfaction. And yet, people, they think they need it. Look at what it's causing. Isolation. People are sitting home, not even going out, and visiting. They can do whatever they want to do. At their fingertips, they got whatever they need. It's causing depression, anxiety, and stress, and dissatisfaction. And when I talk about dissatisfaction, I know a while back on that, someone was talking to someone, and he was into an adult site for some time. And what that did, when he was in an adult site, it made him dissatisfied with his wife. And it caused a great struggle in a marriage because she couldn't live up to the sites that he was watching. And it causes divorce after divorce. And all that, the social media and all those sites, they're fake. They're straight from the pit of hell, for sure. All that they make it look appear that we're having more fun than you are. You should be here. We see. I'll wait on my thought on that. In Jude here, a few verses I want to read. Verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil and is disputing about the body of Moses, he durst not bring him against the railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Okay, I'm just going to read down to 23. I think I started before I should have. But anyway, but these speak evil of these things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brutes, beasts, and those things that corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, For they have gone into the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the ear of Balaam for reward, perish in the gainsayings of Korah. Same thing that we're seeing here on these sites. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds there without water, carried about the winds, trees whose fruits withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It gives me a picture here what social media is doing. It's clouds without tempest and winds, water. It says clouds that are without water, carried about with winds, trees are without fruit. And this just gives me a picture of what we're seeing with the social media, what it's doing to people. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them, and their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners, and spoke evil against him." Then it says, "But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, who shall walk after their own godly lusts. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And some of these have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So, that's what I shared earlier. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. Keeping ourselves away from the idols. Jesus said, "Keep yourselves from all these idols." He says, "Amen." Social media, as I said, it's a lie. It's causing jealousy. It's causing envy. Causing strife. I remember a while back we were somewhere and I seen a couple walking together, and they came up to a place and they stopped. It must have been a little waterfall, and they stopped and they went like this and they took a selfie. They both smiled and took a selfie, and I seen him put it on his social media and send it. Then they walked away with like long faces. It makes people envy. It makes people jealous. It's what it's all made up to. It's not of, as Scripture says there in Galatians 5:26, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another to envy one another." Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if anything be a praise, think on these things." He said, think on these things that are honest, just, true, lovely. And social studies also has found that those that have a higher social media average usage, have a higher divorce rate. As they scroll online, most of them see the happiness and the good or the fun on the side of the person. Studies conducted by the American Academy of Lawyers showed that Facebook was a cause of an astounding 66% of divorces is blamed on Facebook. That was back several years ago, and that took Facebook. I don't know where Facebook. I don't even believe they're the most popular one today anymore. But back then, it was caused of 66% of divorces. And the data suggests that social media in general is now a factory of one of every seven divorces is blamed on social media. I'm only sharing these things to alarm us, the evil that surrounds social media. So I was just the dangers of social media. Facebook, Instagram, and Tinder have purposely created new opportunities for people to connect with other outside of the marriage. Think about that. They created these apps. If you're in a marriage and you're not happy, here's an app going to and see what you can find there. That's plain evil. If we think that we can just freely use all those apps and browse whenever we want, it will affect us. A research shows that The more time a person spends on a smartphone, the higher levels of depression and anxiety are found 1 year later. Children and teens who have much media exposure or have a TV and a computer of a mobile device in their bedroom, they get much less sleep and affects their mentality. It affects them throughout their learning abilities. It's changing the learning abilities in the schools, the social medias. So I want to insert this at this time. Phones can be used for the glory of God, but don't give your child a phone to look at just to keep them quiet with some songs or with some pictures or whatever. Buy a toy. Keep them away from that. Or they get addicted to those phones and at a younger age as they think they need to have them listen to songs or look at pictures. It creates something in them that is hard to replace. And don't let your teenage child take his or her phone up to bed. God forbid. If it's born again, converted or unconverted. I know that we have not always done everything right in our home with our phones and all that. But one thing for sure, they never took their phones upstairs in their bed, upstairs in their bedroom. So I encourage you that. Just their fingertips away from anything they want to seek or search is here. And you send them up to bed with their phone. I say it's a great danger. Lurking. The enemy is sly. It's children. This is children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I trust that the fathers have a vision in here on all this. I'm just sharing on the dangers if we lose sight of God and what it can do. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be found well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And just a few verses here in closing. I don't have a long message. Just the whole armor of God. As we're fighting this age of technology and social media and entertainment and all that, Paul here just encourages, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication to all saints. And for me, that utter may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we're not, brothers, we are not above failure if we don't stay connected to the vine, the source, which is Jesus Christ. Resisting temptation is a battle. It's a war. A person would never think of going into a physical battle without the right equipment. And those that are in the army, we know that they don't go without their breastplate, without their helmet, without their sword, and whatever, their gear. So fighting temptation is no different. We need to gear up with the full armor of God. The belt of truth is the knowledge of God's word. The breastplate of righteousness represents a holy character and a moral conduct. As the 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's the Roman soldiers wore these special shoes called caliga. It's a light sandal or a boot so that it could move quickly, so they can move quickly about to escape danger. And it's a sense of eagerness or willingness to advance against the devil and take the fight to him. And how much more today as a child of the King that we should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be willing and quick to maneuver when we face temptations, if it's from the social media or from whatever it may be. Thought comes, we have the word of God to just shove it off. The shield of faith means taking God's word at its means taking God at his word by believing his promises, by trusting will protect one from doubt induced by Satan. I'll read that again. The shield of faith means taking God's word by believing his promises, by trusting his will protects one from doubts induced by Satan. The helmet of salvation describes the helmet as the hope of salvation. The word of the Spirit is the word of God. This is Bible. It has all the answers we have in here. Let's never, never walk away from the word of God, from reading it daily. If we want to fight against the enemy, we need to go and have the word of God in our hearts. So if I shared anything that was against the word or I shouldn't have shared, feel free. Feel free to share. I'm open to your thoughts. So God bless you.